Good morning. Today's scripture comes from Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Ever wonder where some words come from? The origin of certain words. Did a little research on wordorigin.org this week, and a couple of words I didn't realize had military origins. They came from the military. Some of you retirees, veterans, might recall what these words mean. Ever use the word undermine? Someone's trying to undermine someone else, that means to attack somebody indirectly. Undermine comes from a 14th century term that means digging tunnels under the fortress or fortification in order to get to the enemy. That's called undermining. Basket case. Now, this one is kind of tough. You all know what being a basket case is, right? It means someone who's overwhelmed by stress or anxiety. But in World War II, basket cases were those soldiers who had all their arms and limbs blown off or dismembered for some reason and had to be carried out literally in baskets or litters. Flak. You ever caught flak from anyone? Flak is that criticism or hostile reaction to you. Actually, it's a German word. It's the German word's about this long, and it comes from World War II. Flak was that anti-aircraft artillery that would send up exploding bombs to try to shoot Allied planes out of the sky. Well, another word that is from my relatives, the Scots, is called skedaddle. During the Civil War, soldiers that ran from the battlefield or ran in rapid retreat were known to skedaddle from the battlefield. So these are words that have that kind of origin from military lingo and vocabulary. Today's text from Mark 8 gives us some challenging words from Jesus. It's language that's difficult for his disciples to hear then as they are today. Jesus is talking about suffering. He's talking about being rejected. He's talking about getting killed and denying self in order to be his follower. Jesus is telling his disciples what's going to happen to him. He knows that he is headed to certain death. He knows that he's going to die in Jerusalem. And he's telling his disciples ahead of time. Just previous to this particular passage, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And of course, they give several different suggestions. But Peter is right on point when he says, "You are the Messiah, the anointed one of God." The Messiah was one who was prophesied to be the victor, the conqueror, to restore the kingdom of David in the land. And so it must be a hero. It must be a conqueror. But Jesus is talking about a Messiah who must suffer, be rejected, killed, but on the third day raised from the dead. He makes it very clear. He says to them, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Now, Peter hears everything except "but will rise again." You know how that is, you know, when you say something to somebody, all he hears really about the first half of the sentence. They don't hear the rest of the sentence. The same thing happened to Peter here. And in fact, he thinks Jesus has lost his mind. And he actually pulls Jesus aside privately and rebukes Jesus for talking like this. And what is Jesus' response? Jesus turns to Peter in the company of the disciples and the crowd and says, "Get behind me, Satan, because you're thinking of human things and not heavenly things." Peter is thinking wrongly. He hears suffering, death, rejection, but he does not hear that Jesus will rise again. Jesus is speaking the vocabulary of discipleship. He's telling his disciples what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and that his disciples, his followers, would undergo the same suffering, rejection, persecution that he would. And indeed, looking back, we know that when Jesus was arrested and Jesus was taken to court and he was brutally beaten, where were the disciples? Nowhere to be found. They skedaddled, just like rats on a sinking ship. The point I'm... Was that an uh-oh? Yeah, that's a big uh-oh. That is a big uh-oh. That was precious. Here, Jesus is saying to us, not only to his disciples, he says, before deciding to follow Jesus, before signing on for Jesus, we need to count the cost and not be like the disciples and skedaddle as they did. It's a costly discipleship. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? It simply means that we have accepted God's gracious invitation to a transforming, lifelong personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who created us and welcomes us into that living relationship here and now and in the hereafter. To be saved is to enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and live in faith. That's all. That's it. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. But Jesus goes one step further and says, today, if any want to be my followers, that is, disciples, let them deny themselves, take up the cross, and then follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake, for the sake of the gospel, will save it. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, be prepared to suffer. Be prepared to sacrifice. Be prepared to deny yourself. Because Jesus had to do all these things, did he not? And ultimately, die for his faith. Die for his Lord. Now, suffering is not something that we seek, is it? We don't want to see anyone suffer. We don't want to suffer ourselves. We don't want anything to do with suffering. We certainly don't desire it. We don't seek it. And we certainly don't want to overlook it in others. But some things are worth suffering for. For example, a soldier on the front lines of battle, in the danger with the bombs bursting and the bullets flying, is suffering for justice and freedom and democracy. A mother delivering a child suffers greatly in childbirth, but she's also part co-creating with God, bringing new life into the world. A student cramming for a midterm or a final exam suffers greatly in the studying and the hours and hours of study it takes to pass the exam in hopes that he will pass the exam. We want to avoid suffering at all costs, don't we? We don't want any of our soldiers to die when they go sent into the battlefield. We don't want any collateral damage. We want all the social services that the government has to offer. We want all these perks, but we don't want to pay higher taxes, do we? We want to lose weight. Uh-oh, he's gone to meddling now. We want to lose weight, most of us. 90% of the people I know want to lose a little weight or a lot of weight, but we don't want to change our eating habits, do we? We don't want to exercise, do we? We just don't want to suffer, do without, or sacrifice anything Here's a news flash, folks. Christian discipleship will involve some suffering to some degree. Why? Because it involves love. And love always involves some element of sacrifice. Pope Benedict said this some time ago. There can be no love without suffering because love always involves an element of self-sacrifice. This is something I stress to couples coming to me to get married. And I try to share with them that marriage involves sacrifice because there's love involved. And if you truly love someone, you'll be willing to sacrifice. Not everyone who came to Jesus could follow him. This is hard teaching, they said, and many turned away and could not follow his discipleship. The rich young ruler came. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He said. Jesus said, sell everything you got and give it to the poor. Then come follow me. And he left shaking his head. I can't do that. That's too costly. We cannot grow into mature Christian disciples if we skedaddle from suffering. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we will know suffering, self-denial, and bearing the cross. Jesus said, if you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves. That is, we must be willing to give up things that we thought were important. We must reprioritize our lives. We must reorder our commitments, value system, put others first, love our enemies, be willing to forgive, give the tithe, proportional giving, and sacrifice for the sake of others. That's what a disciple does. He said, take up your cross. The cross was a symbol of capital punishment in Jesus' day. They put crosses up everywhere as a warning to those who even thought about insurrection against the Roman Empire. But it is also our trophy, our symbol, the symbol of our faith. Bearing the cross means not judging others. Bearing the cross means living by the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Bearing the cross means sacrifice, self-denial, and following Jesus. Is a call to self-denial, sacrifice, exchanging the old life, the way we were, with the new life. In Christ we are a new creation. The old has died, the new has come, the Bible says. It means setting our minds on heavenly things, on things of God, on things of the kingdom, and not human, as Peter did, and living a lifestyle that lines up with the kingdom of God. That can mean huge sacrifices on our parts. Lent is a season of remembering that our salvation, our faith, our deepest convictions come from our belief in the one who experienced horrific suffering, conflict, struggle, even death on a cross for our sakes, but is also the one who was raised from the dead and who has given us the promise and hope of eternal life. The question I want to leave you with today is this. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a disciple? Are you a child of God? You see, discipleship is accepting Jesus' call to be his follower. It's not about attending church. It's not about singing in the choir. It's not about how much money you give. It's not about how much lip service you give to the Christian faith. It's not even about church membership. It is about following Jesus and about a relationship, but also remembering that it is very, very costly. For you see, it costs God everything, even his only son. If you have accepted Jesus' invitation to follow him, praise God. If you have not, is the day. Do not leave here today if you have not received Christ as your Savior. And as where you're sitting right now, all pray this next prayer. And I pray this prayer for everyone here, but especially for those who may never have taken that step of discipleship and to follow Christ. So I'd just like us all to pray right now. And I hope and pray that this prayer is the prayer of your heart today. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for loving me so much that Jesus died for me, for my sins. I'm sorry for the things that I have done. I want to start over. I want a new beginning, beginning right now, today. Help me to redirect my life. Show me the way of the cross, because I'm willing to start over if you'll help me, if you'll guide me in the way I should go. I can't do this on my own, Lord. I need your help. I need the help of the church. I need a mentor to show me the way. Today, Lord, as I receive Holy Communion, I receive your gift of salvation. Whether it be for the first time or for the thousandth time, this gift is yours. And I accept your invitation to Christian discipleship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.